From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Jim Vaught from the National Cancer Institute is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about biobanking, its current status, and the future needs of biospecimen research.
Dr. Jim Vaught is the Deputy Director of the Office of Biorepositories and Biospecimen Research at the National Cancer Institute. He has been working in the field of biorepository and biospecimen science for more than 15 years. Dr. Vaught is also the new incoming editor-in-chief of Biopreservation and Biobanking, a journal published by Marianne Liebert. Dr. Vaught, thank you for joining us today. To begin our discussion, would you tell us, what was the main driver behind the development of biobanking as an important component of the life science field?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. About 20-plus years ago, I would say, pathologists, epidemiologists, investigators who were doing their own work with biospecimens started realizing that the field was actually bigger than their own world of collecting their own specimens and analyzing them. And I'd say about this time, there was also major advancements in the types of analyses that could be done with blood specimens and tissue specimens. So it all sort of came together to make these investigators realize that this was a bigger world than they had realized, and that actually you could, for example, for the study of cancer biomarkers and other disease biomarkers, you could collect large numbers of samples and you could do large studies and fairly quickly, a lot quicker these days than 20-plus years ago, quickly analyze large numbers of blood specimens or tissue specimens for particular analytes or analytical features, and that this required a more formal biobanking or biorepository program within institutions. And so that was really the start of it. And I would have to say that many of the processes, procedures, et cetera, came from originally from blood bankers who really knew a lot about quality control. And then these investigators in the life sciences, biomedical sciences, took it from there and realized they had to create their own more formal procedures and create biobanks and create procedures, best practices to support them.
How widespread is the practice of biobanking, and is it found in some countries more often than others?
Yes, it's actually a worldwide phenomenon, biobanking, and that's been in the last 10 to 15 years, I would say, that it's become more worldwide, more prevalent in many countries. It's mainly practiced in developed countries, the U.S., Europe, Australia, and Asia. More recently, South Korea, for example, has begun major biobanking programs, but mostly they've started and continued in the developed countries. Developing countries, for example, in Asia, Central and South America, in some cases, have more trouble coming up with the resources to, for example, freeze samples on a large scale and get materials and supplies necessary for properly designed and managed biobanking programs to get underway. So it's more or less in developed countries and coming along in developing countries, but has been slower.
What has led to the development of biobanking best practices at NIH, ISBIR, and elsewhere? Is the quality of biospecimens for research and clinical use really substandard, or are there other reasons?
Well, the quality of samples has been an issue for investigators who have collected specimens since the beginning of biobanking as a field. And there have been individual examples of major failures in quality of biospecimens in certain studies, and those have been publicized. But it really, I would say, became necessary for biobanking best practices to be developed when investigators realized that what they really needed to do was collaborate with other investigators, initially in their own institutions, but then between institutions and internationally, so that biobanking became something, along with biospecimen research, that is a collaborative process that requires practices that are developed and used consistently across various institutions, because if you end up with samples that are collected in different ways under different quality standards at different institutions, then the study ultimately is going to fail. It may not be noticeable early on, but when studies are repeated with high quality or more consistently collected samples, then these investigations may not hold up to scrutiny. So that was the reason that these best practices were developed, to support the more collaborative research that takes place these days, both within countries and among biobanking networks and across international borders.
Let's pick up on this theme of sample location and collection. How do researchers locate samples for their research, and is there a central database or web links that investigators can use?
Surprisingly, there's no central database or web link that investigators can use. Most investigators locate their samples within their own institutions, either collecting them themselves or collaborating with other investigators within their own institutions. There are more and more biobanking networks being developed, and those networks generally will have some web locator for their samples or some other IT solution to finding samples. There are international networks that have their own specimen resource locators, we call them, and ISPR and other organizations have links to specimen locators for international specimen location. But basically, the issue is that you have to look on the web and do a search for samples, and you'll find many web links that you can use to find samples, but there's no central location. Now, ISPR has created a working group that's going to look into linking these various international specimen locators into a more centralized web service where you can find samples more readily. And the NCI and NIH in general also have good web resources to find specimens, but all of these need to be better coordinated. And so far, an international organization has not stepped forward to take on this issue other than ISPR, so that it's coming, but it's been very slow.
What is biospecimen science, and how is this field contributing to the development of new biobanking standards?
Biospecimen science got its name within the last few years, but it's been going on for a while. This is the scientific area where investigators study methods to best collect, process, store, and disseminate samples. It's never been a field until recently that was actually carefully coordinated. It was sort of a do-your-own-thing within your own laboratory or biorepository to figure out how to best collect samples for your own use. Now it's been realized that this needs to be a science that is more readily promoted in the scientific community, and where results from biospecimen method studies are actually published in journals. Often investigators did their own method studies to figure out how to collect their own samples, but never really published the data in the peer-reviewed biomedical literature. So biospecimen science is the way that we now characterize this field, and a number of editorials have been published to publicize the nature of this field. And now there's more recognition that investigators do need to be doing this sort of research and publishing it more widely. Our own efforts at the National Cancer Institute have been partly responsible for better publicizing this field, in that we're actually funding a number of biospecimen science studies that allow investigators to study variables that affect sample quality and publish those data in the peer-reviewed literature. And that's one way that we're working towards the goal of making biospecimen science a more recognized scientific field.
So, Jim, as we end the interview, looking forward another 5 or 10 years, in addition to making biobanking a biospecimen science, are there a couple of other things that you think needs to be done with the field, not only to advance the science and technology, but to increase its use as a very valuable research and medical repository for people doing work on biomarkers and other life science research?
Yes, I think this last point that we discussed, biospecimen science, should lead to more evidence-based practices, as we call them, so that best practices can be based more on evidence from scientific studies rather than just empirical observations that are made within various labs and biorepositories. And then evidence-based practices need to be more internationally coordinated. There needs to be more international cooperation to promote the field of biobanking and biospecimen science, and also to promote the use of these international specimen locators that we discussed so that international research can be better promoted and can be made more efficient. And there also needs to be more attention to technologies and emerging technologies such as alternatives to freezers so that you're not essentially building big warehouses full of freezers as biorepositories, but studying better ways to collect smaller samples, store them at room temperature or ambient temperature, and other technologies that will just make collecting, processing, and storing samples and shipping them around the world easier. Because really, biobanking is a very extensive field when done the way we've been doing it to date, which is to collect large numbers of samples and store them in freezers. So more attention needs to be paid to economic factors, developing business models, and doing these sorts of biobanking studies more efficiently and more economically.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus, saying thanks for listening to the GenCast Network.